We shall turn again in the portion of the Word of God that was read in Gospel according to John and chapter 8. We shall read verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, things seemed very promising to an outward observer at this point in this chapter. As the Saviour spake these words, verse 30 tells us, many believed on him. But as the chapter proceeds, and it must include a good proportion of those many that in some sense believed on Christ, but obviously not in a true and saving sense, that they are not only opposing Christ, they start accusing Christ and are ready to stone him to death. And that is why the Saviour, who knows the hearts of men, when these are beginning to profess some kind of believing on him, some kind of faith, some kind of receiving his truth, he says to those Jews which believed on him, which said they were beginning to believe, that looked like they were believing, he said, if, what a big word that is, if you've really believed, if you are true believers, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then you are truly and really and sincerely my disciples. And if you are truly my disciples indeed, then these will be your privileges. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And with the Lord helping us, we'll seek to break that down into three matters this evening. First of all, then, there are disciples, and there are disciples indeed. And we would think here tonight, come into the first group, the disciples. Disciples, it means pupils that would put themselves under a teacher, and to some degree go along with that teacher's teaching. They would enlist in his college and take him to be their teacher, at least for a while. But then there are disciples indeed that go much further. That's the first matter. There are disciples that don't go far enough. But then there are the disciples indeed who've been brought all the way to put their trust in Christ. And if all of us belong to the first group, how many of us belong to the second group? Would the Saviour say to you, friend, to me, you are a disciple indeed? Well, there's a difference. And then the second matter is what the Saviour hangs that difference on. And in this passage, it's just on one thing. The difference between disciples in name only and disciples in truth all hangs on whether we continue in his word or not. If ye continue in my word, then that is showing that you are indeed my disciples. The difference between his disciples indeed and others that have some kind of appearance of being disciples can be brought down to this: whether we continue, whether we abide, whether we remain, whether we dwell, whether we live in his word or not. And then the third matter is the privileges of these disciples indeed, who abide in his word. They know the truth, and it's a truth that makes them free, in obviously in distinction from those who are only in outward form disciples. They don't really ever know the truth. Not in the way that it sets the soul free from bondage. They are still servants of sin, or slaves of sin, as the Saviour puts it in verse 34. But these three things then. Firstly, there are disciples, and there are disciples indeed. Then are ye my disciples indeed. If this is true about you, that shows that you're a real true disciple indeed. But if that's not true about you, then whatever you're saying about believing in me, whatever you're doing about listening to my teachings, or whatever you do to shape your life in some sense after the pattern of his teachings, yet you're not a disciple indeed. And so this word disciple is used in different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes we use it to speak of the apostles. When we say the disciples of Jesus, perhaps immediately our mind might be going to Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and Thomas and so on. The 12 apostles chosen by Christ, his disciples. And the Gospels use the word to speak only of those officers, those men chosen out and appointed by Christ to be his apostles. And on other occasions, though, it is used for all those who make some profession of Christ's religion. Back in chapter 4, we read how Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John. Though in fact it was not Jesus himself that physically did the baptizing, but he did it through his disciples. And there you have the two uses of the word disciple. Chapter 4, verse 1. The Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Now you know that John baptized multitudes. Absolutely multitudes. Thousands upon thousands. But by this point, under the ministry of Jesus, more are being baptized by Jesus than had been baptized by John. And those that were baptized by John the Baptist became John's disciples. And it was a profession that they were putting themselves under his teaching, to do what he was telling them to do. Verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. That's the word being used to speak of just the inner band of the 12 men separated to be apostolic ministers of the word and dispensers of the sacraments. But you see the way the word disciple is being used there at the beginning of chapter 4. Anyone that was willing to be baptized, anyone that was willing to come and confess their sin and profess to endeavor to bring forth fruits meet for repentance, as it had been under John the Baptist, and who was saying that now they will listen to Jesus as their teacher, they will enroll in his school, and they will follow him from place to place as he teaches, and they will be in attendance when he preaches, when he opens up the word of God. They'll be there. And in that sense, they were all disciples. But they were not all disciples indeed, were they? In chapter 6 of John, we find that there were many, many, many that were gathering around Jesus. It's in chapter 6 that we have the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men beside the women and the children that would have added to that number. And they were disciples in the sense that they were following Jesus, observing his miracles, but listening to his sermons as well. And there they are in a barren place. They've been listening to him for so long, they cannot now get food. So the Saviour miraculously multiplies the loaves and the fishes and feeds the 5,000 disciples. And in that sense, they're disciples. But then as chapter 6 goes on, and the Saviour unfolds the spirituality of his teaching, they start saying, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And then we are told that from that time, many, in verse 66 of chapter 6, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So there the word of God, the Holy Spirit, is calling these people disciples who were not going to continue with the Lord. They were only temporary disciples. They were disciples in name. They were not heart disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They listened for a while. They were interested for a season. But in the end, they showed that they were never real disciples. They were not what the Saviour is talking of in our text as being disciples indeed. Then are ye my disciples indeed. As John, the Apostle John, will say in his epistle, they went out from us. Why did they go out from us? Because they were not truly of us. They were with us for a while, but they were not the same as us. They professed to be in the school where Christ is teaching in his church, but the message never sank in. And so in the end, they departed. They went out from us. They were not disciples indeed. They were not true disciples. They had no personal attachment to the teacher in this school. They had no personal knowledge of the prophet of the church, Jesus Christ. They did not rightly know the truth, though they were learning a lot about the truth. Yet the power of it they were strangers to. In the church today, children, infants, and others are baptized. Why are they baptized? With water. Are they baptized with water? Because the church is saying that they are disciples indeed, that they're converted, that they're born again? Far from it. As the Saviour's practice was, they're being baptized on a profession of discipleship, either their own, or the parents doing it on behalf of the children. The children that are brought forth in infant baptism are going to be discipled in the truth. They've been born in a house. They're going to be in the church where they'll be trained up in the teachings of Christ. What they'll do with those teachings is another matter. But they're disciples in that outward sense from the very beginning. Now, there are disciples then, and there are disciples indeed. And disciples in the first sense look very, very different to the world, especially in our day, where religion is cast off and any fear of God can almost not be found anywhere. But these first kind of disciples are also very, very different from the disciples indeed, from those who are truly and really and permanently and savingly and forever the disciples of Christ. Then are ye then my disciples indeed. And we have many a name in the gospel records of disciples indeed. We've mentioned the apostles. You can add to the apostles women like Mary Magdalene, even the Saviour's own mother after the flesh, Mary of Nazareth. We have Mary and Martha of Bethany too. These are all disciples indeed. And our hope is, over coming weeks at prayer meetings, to look at some of those disciples indeed. To look at some of them one by one. And we look on our text tonight as an opening up to that. But the solemn thought tonight is, for yourself and myself, are we just disciples in this outward sense? We attend the school, but it doesn't really matter that much to us. And the prophet in the school, the head of the school, the teacher in the school, Jesus Christ, has he become everything to us yet? Are we disciples indeed? Now the second thing is the distinction, how the Saviour grounds that, what he hangs it on here. And there are many other things that distinguish a mere outward professor of a disciple and a real possessor of true spiritual discipleship in his soul. But here it is, whether you continue in his word or not. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The Saviour is not saying, by continuing in his word, you by that become his disciple. You earn the right to be a disciple. You qualify. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, this is how you can know who his true disciples are and who they are not. His true disciples are the ones who continue in his word. They continue in his word. This word continue is sometimes translated continue in the New Testament, but usually, more often than not, it's translated abide and then remain, or even dwell, but abide, to keep on in his word, to keep on in his truth, to persevere in it. Included in the language is then the idea of coming to his word, the word that comes from his lips, the word that drops from his mouth, the word applied by the Holy Spirit to the soul, by the Holy Spirit in power, whereby we know it's his word. If ye continue in my word, oh, have you heard the Bible as Christ's word, his own word, and now do you abide in it? Having once heard his voice in the word, and you know it's not just the word of men, you can even go further and say, it's not just that the Bible's the word of God. All the disciples will say that. But the disciples indeed will say, this is the word of the Saviour to me. This is his word, the word of him who died and rose again and lives forevermore and comes and speaks, the shepherd to the sheep, the king to his subjects, the priest to those he saves, the prophet to those he teaches. Now, if ye abide in my word, if you continue in it, if you, as we said, if you dwell in it, we have our homes. We abide in them. We continue in them. That's where we live. Are we like that with Christ's word? Is it the house we live in? Are we at home in the word? Your own home is different to anywhere else in the world, as you know. And whatever interest there may be, or purpose there may be in going elsewhere, yet to return home. Oh, home is home indeed. Are you, friend, never as much at home spiritually as when you're in Christ's word, and Christ's word is in you, and you're feeding upon his word? Our homes, that's where we go for our meals usually. That's where we eat and drink. Are you eating and drinking the word? Are you at the table of the gospel, eating and drinking Christ's word down into your soul? Is it your food? Is it your drink? Your daily food, your daily drink. Our homes, that's where we go to rest. That's where we go to sleep. That's where our beds are. That's where we lie down and rest. And is the word, Christ's word, has it become a resting place to you? Where, as a weary, poor, troubled sinner, you find the only rest you can find for your soul. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come unto me, his word says. And you abide in that. Do you keep coming back there? Is that the place where you find solace? Our homes, that's where our families are. And is the Word like your family? The characters of Scripture, are they your family? The Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Spirit, are you adopted into that family? Is it in the Word that you find yourself at home? If ye continue in my Word. And you see, that's what the other disciples are not going to do in the end. As we've mentioned in John 6, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because of his word. Some of his words they had liked. It had attracted them. And some of his deeds they had liked even more. His miracles and his wonders, providing all that food out of such a small beginning. They liked that. But when he said in his word, you have to eat my flesh, you have to drink my blood, then they're saying, this is a hard saying. Who can receive that? Who can believe that? Who can take that down? Oh, and then they departed. They quarreled. They did not continue in his word. They could not find a resting place in the word of Christ for what their souls were after. They had not yet been made spiritually needy for what the gospel in Christ provides. Do we find in the word of Christ, in the gospel, in the Bible, in his own word and all the word of Scripture, is that where we're at home? Is that where we abide? Will we be saying, this is my rest, here still I stay, for I do like it well? Will we be with them who joined with Peter, who were disciples indeed? And when the Saviour said, will ye also go away? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They continued in the word, they couldn't leave it. And that's the description of everyone that's a true disciple indeed. They spiritually continue and abide and dwell in the word so that they can't go anywhere else. Like Ruth, who couldn't leave Naomi. Follow your sister-in-law. She's gone back to her people. They're your people, Ruth. Her gods, they're your gods by nature. Go back. Oh, she can't go. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Whither thou goest, I will go. Is that where we are with Christ in his word? Those are the disciples indeed. Now thirdly, just briefly, the privileges then that are theirs, what belongs to them. Ye shall know the truth, the Saviour says, and the truth shall make you free. Well, they already know the truth, these disciples. They already know it savingly, obviously. They've heard Christ's word. But here the Saviour is saying, you will know. You will know and know and know the truth more and more and more. As you abide in my word and are my disciples indeed, and take my teaching to heart, and are willing and able to receive it and believe it and to do it and to plead it in promises and to tremble at that word, then you will know the truth. You will know it more and more. You will know it with greater reality, with greater liberty, with greater sense of it upon your soul. You will know the truth. You will go on knowing the truth. You'll not lose the knowledge of the truth that has been given you. But what you've been given, you will go on having. And what you have will increase. To him that hath, more shall be given. You shall know the truth. And the truth, he says, shall make you free. Later in verse 36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So it's the Son, it's Christ, it's the Saviour, the Son of God, setting his people free, breaking the shackles that bind them, delivering them from bondage through his word. The Son of God acting through his word always, knowing the truth. And the more we know the truth, the more free we'll be. And the more we'll be living as his disciples indeed. The Jews did not like what he had just said to them. We were never in bondage to any man. You're talking to us, or thou art talking to us about being free. Well, we don't need to be made free. We're free. We're Jews. We're not like the heathen that are slaves and in bondage. We're free already. But disciples indeed have been taught how much bondage they're in by nature, and how much the remaining sin that's in them would continue to bind them, and how strong the devil still is, and how powerful the world is. And by knowing the truth, they enjoy that freedom as the Son makes them free and keeps them free. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made his people free. They're not in bondage any longer to the curse of the law. The Saviour died for that in their place. They're not under the bondage of the covenant of works to reach its standard of perfection. They're in the covenant of grace. They've been set free. They're set free from the dominion, the domineering, unstoppable power of sin over their souls, which is where they were before. True disciples are not there anymore. They know the truth, and the truth is making them free. And the more they know the truth, the more free they are. They're not in bondage. They're truly not in that oppressive bondage that once they were in. They are set free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, Christ then has disciples indeed, and are we of them? And if we are, it will show itself by our continuance in the truth, in his word, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. We'll say, to whom shall we go? It's a personal attachment to the one whose word it is. If ye continue in my word, something personal there. It's not just because the words say this, it's because he says these words. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And if so, what a privilege is ours. We are no longer under dominion to sin, no longer in bondage to world, flesh, or devil, no longer bound under the curse of the law and the demand of the covenant of works. We're free. Free indeed to be the Lord's free servants and children, no longer slaves to Satan and sin and the world. What a people the disciples indeed are. And with the Lord's help and the Lord sparing us, as we look at his disciples indeed, oh, to see their character, to see their grace, to see their failings, but to see how the Lord works with them and how they continue in his word because it's his word, and how they know the truth increasingly, and how the truth increasingly sets them free. Oh, to be one of the Lord's disciples indeed. And why not? Come then, even if you know that you're not one of these disciples yet, just an outward one, why remain there? Come to know. Come and seek his face. Come and be taught by him. Put yourself into his hands. Come and have dealings with himself. Not just the words of the Bible and the teachings of the Bible, but with the teacher of the Bible, Jesus Christ himself, making you to be a disciple indeed. May he bless his word.